Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We live having the New Testament. The people of the Old Testament had God's word, they had God's command. Adam passed down the word of promise to his son. His sons passed those down, even though Cain chose to go a separate way. He chose not to offer of his first fruits, not to offer of his heart, not to do it out of faithfulness, but out of just having to do it. And then God gave his commandments through Moses. He told his people, this is how, if you are going to live by my name, you are going to live. This is what you must do. These are the words that you must follow. For I am the Lord your God. I have brought you out of the bondage, out of the slavery in Egypt. After 400 years, I am bringing you into the land that I promised. Even after receiving those commandments, even after having the very first one be that you shall have no other gods, they worshipped other gods. They rejected the word of promise. And when 12 spies went to look at the land, and 10 of them came back and said, it's filled with giants. We shouldn't go because if we go, they're going to destroy our children. Rather than listening to what God had said and the two faithful spies that reiterated it, Joshua and Caleb, they give into that fear. And God says, then I will not be with you right now. And then they try to change the terms. Okay, God, tell you what, we'll take up arms and now we'll try. Now we'll go. And he says, if you go, I will not be with you. God, we got it. We got it. We're going to go. And they go and they are defeated. God spends the next 40 years as all those adults, except for Joshua and Caleb, die off. That only their children will make it into the promised land. As Christians, we still have these commandments, but these commandments show us how God calls us to life. No longer are we bound to worship on that Sabbath day, on that Friday sundown to Saturday sundown, but now we worship on the day of our Lord's resurrection, on the Lord's Day, the day of new creation. That eighth day that reminds us that we have been created in new life. Now we may freely have images of our Lord Jesus Christ and of those things that point us, that help us in our piety to see when I look at the cross of Jesus Christ, that is what he did for me. I don't get to heaven because of how good I am. I get to heaven because my God had to die. I can look on these images. I can look on that face. And I can give thanks to him for his mighty work. It is truly a beautiful thing that churches throughout the world are filled with these beautiful images. Images that teach us what our Lord has done for us. Jesus, in our gospel lesson, says, I have not come to abolish the law and the prophets. Rather, I have come to fulfill them. And so he says, whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. There are a bunch of denominations that reject God's word. Instead of holding that this is God's word, therefore we are bound to it, they say it contains God's word, therefore we can pick and choose what we still want to hold today. But the culture is not our judge. The world is not our judge. God is judge. And when the leaders of his church, who are supposed to be living and teaching by his word, reject it for popularity, for money to fill their pews, then they have rejected Jesus. Jesus does not loosen this, rather he intensifies it. He says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of judgment. But I say that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Whoever says to his brother, Raka, that is numbskull, shall be in danger of the council. Whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. That is not a doing away of God's laws. It is getting to the heart of it. The spirit of it isn't so that I can say, hey, I've never murdered, but rather I can see that I've murdered in my heart. That if my heart has gone off after strange gods, if my heart were not in Sunday worship, even though my body is, then I am not really doing what God's word has told me to do. If you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. If you know that you have sinned against your brother and you have been called out on that sin, you do not wait weeks. You do not wait months. You do not have to be told to repent multiple times. You go. You do not blame others for your faults. You confess your own sins. And when you have wronged your brother, you confess it to him. Agree with your adversary quickly. While you are on the way with him, lest your adversary deliver you to the judge hand you over to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Jesus says, assuredly, I say, you will by no means get out of there till you have paid the last penny. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees and the scribes, you will not go to heaven. Jesus, you have asked a hard thing. The Pharisees thought that they could justify themselves. They had intensified God's laws, the ones that they wanted to at least. And they looked at how great they were. Lord, look, we've done all these things. We've made it so that you must wash your hands. We've made it so that you cannot even help the poor or the lame on the Sabbath day. This is not righteousness. Righteousness is finding your own righteousness in God, not yourself. St. Paul makes this very clear in our epistle lesson for today. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! How shall we who died to sin live any longer to it? Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. These words are spoken by the pastor and responded to by the people as the funeral pall is laid over the casket at a funeral to show that this body lying there in that casket has been washed by the blood of the Lamb. That the robe of Christ's righteousness received when they were likely just a baby, that white robe that they wear points to Christ's righteousness. And so when we see that pall over that casket, we can be reminded that Jesus Christ has died for that person, body and soul. We were buried with him. We have died with him. In the early church, one of the things that they would do in baptism is they would shed off the old clothes in that darkness of the Easter Vigil. They would go down into that flowing water, and they would be placed underneath it to show that they are buried with Christ. That when they would spring up again, they would rise to newness of life. Now, we confess as Lutherans that it's not the amount of water that makes it a baptism, rightly so. That it is water and the word that make it a baptism. It is not necessary to immerse to make it baptism. It is necessary to have water and his word according to his command in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with a true understanding, a true confession that God is triune. This is symbolism. It shows what is happening, whether you immerse, whether you pour, whether you sprinkle, or whether they are so small in the NICU that all you can use is a dropper. It's the water with God's word according to his command. And so whether you were a tiny infant in the NICU, whether you were an adult, you have been buried with Christ. You have died with Christ. And now you are alive again. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. That old man, that old Adam, that clings to each of us because of that original sin, it is buried with Christ. It has died with him. And now we have risen to newness of life. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we've died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You have that old Adam. This morning, that old Adam hit snooze a ton of times. This morning, that old Adam said, I don't want to go to church. That old Adam heard the lies of the devil who said, do you really have to go today? Wouldn't it just be easier to stay home today? Surely God would understand today. But the reason you're here is because you have been raised with Christ. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. And the Holy Spirit desires to do the will of the Father. You are a new man. You have risen with Christ. And so your new will, baptized, living, desired to be here. And I thank God that you are. And he and his angels are rejoicing in heaven because they get to be with you today. Jesus will offer you the very body and blood that he shed, that he gave on his cross when he died for us. You are a new creation. Let that wash over you. Let that direct your days. You don't have to fear death, because death is not the end for you. You are alive. Your soul will never die. Your body, even though it will temporarily rest, will be raised on the last day. And your body and soul will praise him without end. Martin Luther has great words on this comfort and this hope. He writes, "You should know that as Christians, you should be conscious in yourself and should act in all your doing and being as those who have already died to sin in Christ and who are found in that death before the world, so that you do not serve or follow sin as if it ruled over you. Rather, you should demonstrate the opposite, that you now live a different life, which is called a divine life, ruling over sin both inwardly in faith and outwardly in your life until the flesh or the body also falls asleep. Thus, both deaths are completed in you, and there will be nothing else but only life, without any fright, fear, or dominion of death." The Son of God became a man, that men might become the sons of God. C.S. Lewis. Jesus has done it all. Jesus is the only one who has had more righteousness than the Pharisees, because he has completed the law completely. He lived according to every jot, every tittle. He followed it completely, and yet they still killed him for it. He received the punishment that every scribe, every Pharisee, every one of us in this building today deserved because of our inability to follow it. And his righteousness flows through every one of us by faith, by grace, through the waters of holy baptism in his word, through his body and his blood, through the words of absolution announcing that because Jesus' cross was filled with his life and death, that you are declared righteous, that the full price of the atonement has been paid. But now the tomb is empty. Death no longer has dominion over him, and therefore it has no dominion over you. Dear child of God, when you leave this church today, when you leave this holy place, this sanctuary, where God has graced us with his presence, live like you went to church today. Live like you heard that Jesus is bigger than whatever struggle you're going through. Live like you have heard that your sins are forgiven, that they have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Live in that newness of life. Live for Jesus. The church sings, "What I on earth have done and taught, guide all your life in teaching. So shall the kingdom's work be wrought and honored in your preaching. But watch, lest foes with base alloy the heavenly treasure should destroy. This final word I leave you. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.